joining me now to talk all things Toronto Maple Leafs. It is the voice of the Maple Leafs, and the only time I will do an introduction of my guest, because if you don't recognize his voice, you're probably listening to the wrong station. It is Joe Bowen. Joe, thanks for joining the show.
Now, that's a hell of an introduction.
Yeah, well, I mean... I guess
I like country music, too.
I understand that, and maybe people tune into this show for my wine advice, by the way.
That's true.
Yeah, so Cabernet Sauvignon from South Africa. I tried a ton of it. You can get really good stuff for under $25. It's a hell of a value if you're tired and you can't find something from Napa that you enjoy. So there.
And I find that Kilbegan Irish whiskey from Ireland is just as good.
Okay. Hey, you know. You know, maybe sometime when the government allows it, we can get together, do a taste test, and we can
there
do some rankings. Yeah,
absolutely.
I'll order the Uber. So, Joe, let's start here. I'm just the main thing about Saturday that I'm curious about. I just want to see what they look like. I don't remember a time when the entire Leafs squad was healthy. You know, I mean, obviously I want to win, and they win 9-0 and everyone's happy, and they, you know, pad the stat sheet. I'm just curious to see what they look like.
Well, yeah, let's keep our fingers crossed that everything goes according to Hoyle in the next 24 hours or so to allow
excellent
that to happen.
Excellent point by you. Excellent point by you.
Having said that, yes, and it will be interesting to see where Sheldon Keefe thinks that people should be slotted in. Who will be the odd man out. But, you know, when you've got Engvall and Marner coming back, there haven't been many games this year, if any, where everyone that has been penciled on the big blackboard at the start of the year was going to play. So it will be interesting to see what the lineup looks like. And then let's hope that the rust is not there as far as Marner and Engvall, and they can get right back into it. I mean, the game the other night... completely proves my point that no one ever said this game is supposed to be fair. And if it was fair, the better team that outplayed the other team would have won handily and gone away. But it is interesting that the second least point-producing games for the Maple Leafs over the course of the last, I don't know, since 2005, San Jose Sharks, number one, and the Arizona Coyotes are second. And I mean, you can't say that they took them lightly because they completely outplayed them.
Oh, yeah. You outshoot someone like 46-18 or whatever it was. You didn't take that team. You know, you're right. You didn't take that team lightly. As for Marner, I mean, like, what I'm curious about is that first line, because Matthews, and to his credit, like Matthews with Bunting and Kasha, you know, was able to keep that line relevant and dangerous, and that's what elite centers are supposed to do: raise the production of lesser talented wingers around him, and he's been able to do that. I'm just curious to see how that line looks with Marner back, and then where does Kasha end up?
Well, Kasha will end up back on the third line, and it's going to be a really, really good third line. And that's you know, again, the depth of this team and the problems that it provides opposing coaches as to where do we put our best defensive tandem, our best defensive line, when you've got two really good number one lines and a third line that is really productive. So the depth of this organization, and it may be taxed next year when all this is said and done, but at this particular point, all of the round pegs that fit in the round holes, and other than maybe Nick Ritchie. But having said that, he's playing better as well. So all of this has really come together, and it has allowed Sheldon Keefe to really have the luxury of having a very deep and very good offensive lineup up front.
Let's talk about William Nylander for a moment. Jonas Siegel from The Athletic just wrote a piece about him, and I went through it all, and all I did was I picked out a bunch of the statistics and things like he's on pace for 38 goals and 84 points, just outside the top 20. His overall assist rate's never been higher. But maybe the thing that stands out for most to me is the minutes. The amount of minutes he's playing in empty net situations, where that's all about trust, and averaging a career high of just under 19 minutes a game. Not a saying I came up with, but if you want to know how a coach feels about a player, don't listen to what the coach says. Just go look at time on ice. And I'm curious your thoughts on just the season we've seen so far from Nylander.
Well, you know, young people mature at different times. Some are vastly mature for their age when they're very young. Others grow into it. I think William Nylander is in that process now. The things that I have been most impressed with has been his play without the puck, making key back-checking decisions, showing the hustle and determination to take away a two-on-one, playing better along the boards in the defensive zone, not kind of doing the flybys, sticking your nose in when it's required. And all of this is stuff that he does without having the puck on his stick. Because when he does have it on his stick, he's always been very creative and very talented. But I think that your point is well made. The extra ice is warranted because of the play away from the puck or trying to get it back. And that has been something that I have been very, very impressed with. And I was a critic back in his infancy, I guess, in this league, because there wasn't enough of that. But you watch how Austin Matthews has developed that way, and William Nylander has used him as a real good role model because he is following in the footsteps of what Matthews has done maybe a season or a season and a half ahead of Willie.
Yeah, and you're right. It's just the maturity without the puck, and obviously – obviously, the coaching staff has noticed. All right, Joe, I want to apologize to the entire Toronto Maple Leafs. I think I just jinxed them.
How'd you do that?
The Leafs announced that Andre Kasha and Nick Ritchie and Justin Hall have been added to the COVID protocol list.
Way to go. You and your big mouth. You and your big mouth. I knew this was going to happen.
I'm so sorry, Joe. I did this.
That's wrong.
God.
It really doesn't matter unless you start saying that Ralphie and I are on the list. Other than that, we'll be fine.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that something? That's ridiculous. But it is the time, right? It's what's going around and everything else.
I know.
I would love to know if there has been a roster in the National Hockey League, anyone's, that has been at full strength, and boy, am I ever glad we got everybody here. Because I doubt very strongly that that's been the case throughout the course of this season for any of the teams in the NHL.
And Nick Ritchie, after playing a little bit better, and now he's on it. Kasha, who looked great on that, or looked very good on that first line. And I guess with Justin Hall being added, just off the top, it's been a while since we've seen Timothy Liljegren. I imagine he will step into the lineup tomorrow night against St. Louis.
Well, yeah, he played the other night. Sandin would be back in. I thought that the two of them, the two young Swedes, had played very well together when they were teamed back earlier in the season. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that. And then maybe an adjustment as far as someone playing with Muzzin, but we'll wait and see how that all sifts out as far as Sheldon Keefe. I can only imagine he must sit in his hotel room and just desperately hoping the phone won't ring. And it's one of the training staff telling him, oh, and by the way.
Oh, yeah. It's like, and I don't have any actual knowledge of this as a professional uncle, but it's like when you're a parent of teenagers, there's nothing worse than if the phone rings at like 2:30 in the morning.
Can you come and get me?
Yeah. Can you come and get me? No.
Nothing good is coming in the next half hour. Yeah.
No, it's can you come and get me? I just received my valedictorian award. That never happens. Total.
Well, not at 2:30 in the morning, it doesn't.
Probably not. Or that's a very odd school you're at. Maybe
it's
night
true.
School. That's a horrible joke.
No,
by
that's
me.
The school of hard knocks.
That is true. A total of 20 Maple Leaf players have entered the protocol since the team struggled through its outbreak last month. And now I love the fact, like, Joe, Here's how my script looks. I write 2 o'clock, Joe Bowen. Below, I write Voice of the Maple Leafs, and that's just been there for years. I'm a dummy. I don't know why that's there. And then it's the first thing it says, how curious are you to see what the Leafs look like fully healthy? Those are the words I wrote. This is all my fault. Okay. I'm going to turn this power into good. Are you ready for it?
All right.
When Peter Mrazek wins the Vezina, how shocked will we be considering his start with the Maple Leafs was really choppy?
Well, we won't be shocked because it will suggest that Jack Campbell played really, really well. Mm-hmm. You know, in fairness to Mrazek, this is a difficult, difficult situation. Initially, it was played to him, and I'm sure his representation, that it would be a combine of he and Campbell probably splitting almost 50-50 going forward. And then injury and then the hotness of Campbell has changed that dialogue. And it is a difficult thing for anybody that is not playing a great deal to get over things or whatever. I did not think he played badly in Arizona, but he was not nearly as good as the guy at the other end of the rink, although he only gave up one more. So it's a... You have to kind of put your head inside Peter Mrazek's body and suggest this is a lot more mental probably than anything. And it's going to take some time. He's got to get a good win under him and then get an opportunity maybe to play a little bit more. But at this particular point, Jack Campbell's been the man. And you can't argue with the decisions that Sheldon Keefe has made that this is no longer even thought to be close to a 50-50 thing. This is Campbell's team, and they're going to run with him as much as they can.
Hey, Joe, before I let you go, any thoughts on how seriously do you take anything when it comes to the All-Star game? The fact that, you know, Kadri and Nylander and Stamkos aren't in it, but Nick Suzuki is because every team's got to have one player. Does it fall on your radar, or is it just that annual tradition of when the All-Star game is announced and the players are announced, no matter what, we're just always going to be angry?
No, I think, unfortunately, now, Matt, it's lost. It's lost. It's a PR event for major sponsors.
Yes.
And I think that's exactly what it is. It's a glad hand getting to rub shoulders with the star players. Now, how much of that's going to be able to go on at this time, I don't know. Obviously, there's a lot more glad handing in south of the 49th parallel than above the 49th, but I don't know how that will Jimmy Ralph and I went down and did the All-Star game in Columbus, and we thought we were in the midst of the Civil War because that cannon went off about 75 times. They ran out of ammunition. So, they should play in sweats, probably, and with a tennis ball so no one gets hurt.
We kind of do. Joe, really appreciate, and again, I just want to say I'm sorry to you.
Well,
to the Leafs.
I sincerely trust that this will be on Twitter somewhere so that you can take the full brunt of Leaf Nation for screwing this up.
I'm gonna do what any host does. I'm gonna blame my producer. He wrote that question. I don't do it.
All right. Well, when in doubt, throw somebody else under the bus.
Hell yeah! Personal accountability is for the other guy. Thanks so much, Joe. Enjoy the game.
You bet. Thank you.
That is Joe Bowen, voice of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and in case you don't already know.